Today I want to talk to you about the importance of children's ministry. Children's ministry is one of those things we don't talk a lot about. And since I'm the one doing the talking, I guess you could say it's my fault. You know, growing up when we visited churches, my mom only had one question. And the question was, what is there for my kids? What's there for my kids? What kind of programs do you have? What do you have here for my kids? She wanted to make sure that we as a family, that for her children, we had access to the best. In fact, it was so important to my parents that very early on, they moved us to the best school district in the area. They found the city and the town where, you know, they had a good school district. And so naturally, she felt the same way about finding the right children's ministry. If we visited a church and the preaching was good and the music was good, but the children's area was a mess, or it was disorganized, or it was understaffed, or it was in the back of the church in some dimly lit area, we weren't coming back. And so why was it so important to her? Because my mom, she knew the importance of laying a good foundation. She knew the importance of laying a good foundation. So why is children's ministry so important? That's what we're talking about today. And we're going to run another video clip here and kind of show you why it's so important. So let's go ahead and run that next clip.
How important is children's ministry? Well, more than half of people who will ever believe in Christ will do so by the age of 12. And by the time a child is 9, their basic moral foundation has already been formed. By age 13, a person has formed their first basic beliefs about the nature of God, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of an afterlife, and the everlasting love of Jesus Christ. Through children's ministry, we have a chance to engage the hearts of these children when they are most open to the gospel. We are able to step into their lives through all the gifts like teaching, serving, administration, and evangelism. You could get a chance to share the gospel with a child for the first time in his or her life, or help them form their first thoughts of who God is. Please know we don't want this to be an obligation. We want this to be a pleasure. We want you to volunteer because you want to help your church raise its children as you raise your own. By helping us in children's ministry in any capacity, you help them see that Jesus is real.
So, what are your initial thoughts after watching that video? I can tell you what my thoughts would have been years ago. I would have said, don't ask me to volunteer in children's ministry. I am not good with kids. That's what my thoughts would have been years ago. Sometimes other people's responses are even better, like, I've done my time. There was a lady in my very first church. She had been a first grade teacher there in the community for about 25 years. She retired, and she said, hey, I've already put in my time. I don't want to work anymore with children, like it was a prison sentence. Other times, people will say to me, I love coming to church. Man, I love the service, the music, the teaching. I just enjoy it. I have fun coming. But don't ask me to do anything. I'm not interested in serving. I've actually had people tell me that before, right? Don't ask me to serve. I've had them tell me verbally and non-verbally. And so what do all these responses have in common? They have an attitude of, I don't want to be bothered, right? I don't want to be bothered. And this really is the same attitude that the disciples had. In fact, let's look here in Mark chapter 10, verse 13. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for what? For bothering him. Why did the disciples have this kind of attitude? Well, because they didn't think the children were worthy of Jesus' attention. They didn't think the children were worthy of Jesus' attention. So why is children's ministry so important? Well, first, the answer was in the video, because more than half of the people who believe in Jesus will do so before age 12. More than half. That's pretty amazing. Practically speaking, what does that mean for you and me? What does that mean for us as a church? It means we better value children's ministry. What does it mean to value children's ministry? It means our time, our energy, and our resources should be going there. That's what it means, right? Our time and our energy and our resources should be going in that direction. Let's start with our time. How much time do you devote to serving in this area? You may say, I don't even know what it's required to serve in this area. Well, I would say what's required to serve in this area is really a model of mine and hopefully a model of our church, and that is three things: a spirit of humility, a willingness to serve, and a desire to follow. A spirit of humility, a willingness to serve, and a desire to follow. That is what is required to serve here at our church and really in our children's area. Let's start with having a spirit of humility. Starts with you filling out a form, filling out one of those connection cards, you know, that I talk about each week during the offering time. And I say, hey, if you'd like to serve and help and get plugged in here at our church, it starts with you stepping up, checking one of those boxes on the connection card and saying, I would like to help in the nursery, or I'd like to help upstairs with Adventure Kids. I want to be a part of that. Because when you fill that out, you're thinking less about you and you're thinking more about them. That's really what it is. And that's a spirit of humility. You're thinking less about you and you're thinking more about them. A willingness to serve. A willingness to serve means that you're willing to do whatever the teacher in that classroom asks you to do. You're willing to do whatever the teacher or the leader in that classroom for that day as you come along and volunteer as an assistant. It may mean closing the door, something simple. It may mean helping to quiet the children down, playing games with them. A desire to follow means that you desire to follow not only the teacher in that classroom, but ultimately Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, follow me just as I follow Christ. Follow me, imitate me just as I follow Christ. Jesus did what? He loved the little children. Therefore, we should follow in his footsteps. We should also love them. So what is required? Well, first, what's required is our time. Our time. Next, it requires energy. Energy, right? These kids are going to keep you going. And if you're getting older, they will make you feel young again. This week is our vacation Bible school, and I say our vacation Bible school. It's kind of a neat thing because we have many churches here in the area coming to help, and so it's the community's vacation Bible school. And it's right here at our church this week. And so I hope that you'll have an opportunity sometime during this week to come here and see what's happening. From 9 a.m. to 12 noon, you'll see singing, you'll see games and crafts and Bible stories, and you'll see over 100 kids running around and having fun. Now, what would happen if we brought that same energy here every week? Well, the reality is we do bring that same energy here every week. We have some great volunteers who serve here in the children's ministry, and I just like to acknowledge them and say thank you so much. I'll tell you what happens when we bring this energy here. What happens is that kids beg their parents to bring them back next week. And I see that all the time. Monica sees that working in the children's area, volunteering, and I know a lot of you do. The parents, the kids, beg their parents to bring them back. And isn't that what we want? We often reach the parents through the kids. Right? A parent might not even really want to be here initially, but because their kids love it and they had a fun time here and they learned God's word, their parents will bring them back. And so in order to have them learn and have them have a fun time and get to that point where they really love it, it requires the third thing. It requires resources. So it's time, it's energy, and then it's resources. Churches invest heavily in the area of children's ministry. I've seen some churches that are literally like Disneyland when you walk in. I mean, you'd be amazed by the lighting that they have, the bright colors, the graphics, the characters on the wall. I've seen saltwater fish tanks and video games and everything in between to capture a child's imagination. If you've never walked through our children's area, you will see things painted on the wall, pictures specifically for them. And so if we put all these things together, our time and our energy and our resources, there is one question we should continually be asking. How can we make it better? How can we make it even better than what it is? So why is children's ministry so important? Because more than half of the people who believe in Jesus will do so before age 12. Why is children's ministry so important? Because the kingdom of God, second, because the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. The kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Let's continue on there. Mark 10, verse 14. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." What does it mean to be like these children? What does it mean to be like these children? Remember the video that we saw? It said that what? Over half of the people who accept Jesus come to him before age 12. And so the probability of someone coming to Jesus after that age goes way down. In fact, the George Barna Group, if you've heard of the Barna Research Group, they offer up these statistics. 64% of people make a commitment to the Lord before age 21. 64% or before the age 18, excuse me, before age 18. 13% make a commitment between the ages of 18 to 21. And then 23% make a commitment to the Lord after the age of 21. So if we were to sum all that up, almost 80% of people make a decision to live for Jesus before that age of 21. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? If you think about it. Now, when are we most open to learning new things? When are we the most open to learning new things? Well, it's when we're young, right? You may say, well, I'm still young. But the video says by age what? By age 9, we've already formed our beliefs. By the way, a lot of times parents will ask me or they'll ask Monica, when is a good time for my child to be baptized? When should my child be baptized? Around 8 or 9 years old, right? They've formed their beliefs. They have that understanding. What happens as we mature, as we get older? We're less willing and less open to learning new things. I find this when it comes to technology. I'm like, please, don't come out with any new technology. Right? I still remember at Verizon not too long ago, they said to me, "What do you want your phone to do for you?" And I said, "I want to be able to talk on my phone." That's what I want to be able to do. What, can it scramble eggs for me? Did I miss something? Is there some new technology? I want to preserve this era that I'm living in and not have to learn anything new about technology. However, our world never stops. Our world is what? It's ever changing. And so we must keep learning. What happens when we stop learning? When we stop learning, we stop living. We stop living. Some people have never started living. You may say, "What do you mean by that?" Some people are actually dead, and they don't even know it, right? They're actually dead, and they don't even know they're dead. Look at these verses here in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Paul says this, "Once you were dead," those of you who are Christians, "because of your disobedience and your many sins." Right? You used to be dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, just like everybody else, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. There was a time when I thought going to church, I don't need to go to church. Why do I need to go to church? This is dumb. It's stupid. I don't need to go to church. During that season in my life, I lived in sin. I followed the passionate desires and inclinations of my sinful nature. And what benefit did I reap at that time from the things I'm now ashamed of when I look back on it? There was no benefit. In fact, the other day, Monica said to me, she said, "I don't have any regret about missing out on certain things that I didn't do." And why would she? Because having premarital sex and running around with multiple partners and getting drunk and doing drugs? Why would she regret missing out on that? Right? That only causes pain and hurt and turmoil and conflict. There was a time when I was dead on the inside. And I didn't even know it. And you may say, "Well, what happened to you, Ed?" I'll tell you what happened to me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 happened to me. "But God is so rich in mercy, so rich in forgiveness, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave his life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved." He gave his life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. I can tell you with great confidence that I certainly didn't do anything to deserve being saved. And even now, I haven't done anything worthy to keep my salvation. I struggle with sin every day. Every day I struggle with it. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. What does that mean? It means I'm saved by grace and I'm kept by grace. That's exactly what it means. Now that I've been adopted into his family, there is nothing that will ever separate me from the love of God. In fact, Paul echoes that same statement in Romans 8, 38 and 39, for he says this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in what? Christ Jesus our Lord." Right? You may think he's forgotten about me. I feel separated from him. Man, he loves you so much. And he is waiting for you to come to him with open arms. In fact, if we look in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son, right? He actually runs as soon as the son who has wandered away turns in the direction of the father runs to the son with open arms. And so he is waiting with open arms to embrace you, to welcome you. How do you react when someone loves you unconditionally and with no strings attached? How do you react when someone loves you unconditionally with no strings attached? Well, you respond with what? An attitude of gratitude and a spirit of love. Thank you, and I love you, right? Thank you for loving me as I am, with all of my warts, all of my faults, all of my shortcomings, all of my sins. Thank you for taking them away, removing them as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, Lord. I love you. So why is children's ministry so important? Why is it so important, right? Well, first, because more than half of the people who believe in Jesus will do so before age 12. Second, because the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. And third, because children model for us what humility and dependence look like. Children model for us what humility and dependence look like. Mark chapter 10, verse 15 says this, "I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Anyone who doesn't receive it like a child will never enter it. How does a child enter the kingdom of God? How does a child do that? By admitting that he or she needs help and depending on God to provide that help. Now, as a child growing up, I was never afraid to admit that I needed help. In fact, I'll say it today. I need help. You're like, yes, and we know you do need help. Right? I need help. Help me with this. My sister was a different story. My sister was like, I don't need any help. Don't help me. I can tie my own shoes. Right? Don't help me. I can do it. Perhaps that's why even today, my sister doesn't believe in God. Right? She doesn't see the need for him. I don't need his help. When the housing crisis hit in 2008, it really threw my sister for a loop. They had purchased a house that was $130,000 that was now worth $60,000. And so needless to say, her and her husband, they were upside down on this house, about $70,000. And during a period of time, something happened. The bank reduced that $70,000 to $20,000 and said, if you pay us $20,000, we'll call it even. What happened during that period of time? My mom was earnestly praying to God on behalf of my sister. Prayer happened. That's what happened. And so my sister said, you know I don't believe in God, but I have to admit, something out of the ordinary happened. They had a little girl named Kaylin, my niece, and she's so adorable. She's now 6 years old, and my sister's like, we got to move out of this tiny starter home that we bought. But the only way we'll be able to do it is if we can buy a house and get out of our house and all in one weekend, and everything's just got to fall right into place because we don't have the money to be able to do it any other way. And my mom said, I'll start praying. And sure enough, everything fell into place all in one weekend. And my sister said, perhaps there is a God. Here's the thing. What we see in children is what we often see in adults. What we see in children is what we often see in adults. Monica, who works at Nissi Preschool, often tells me, I would so rather work with children than I would with adults, right? Because they listen, they're open, They're willing to learn, right? They're willing to change their ways. They're moldable, right? What we often see in children is what we see in adults. So I'll ask, which one is easier to correct? A child or an adult? Perhaps a bigger question and an even more personal question is, do you have faith like a child? Or has your heart become hard, right? And stubborn and prideful, where you're like, I'm here today, but I really didn't want to come to hear my spouse or my friend. Somebody dragged me here, and I really don't want to hear too much about Jesus in this church thing. What's your heart like? Are you willing? Are you open? Because Jesus says what? You'll never enter the kingdom of God unless you have faith like a child. What do children do? They model for us what humility and dependence look like. James says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. The Lord says, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will confess to God. So whether you're a child or an adult or somewhere in between, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God. All right? So you either do it now or you will do it later. My prayer for you is that you would do it now, that you have faith like a child and say, you know what? I don't know everything there is to know, but I know that I need Jesus because I feel dead on the inside. I feel dead on the inside. I know something is missing inside of my heart. I don't have joy. I don't have peace. I'm longing for something more than what this world has to offer, and I want Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want him to save me from myself and from my sins. Well, he can do that. And here in a moment, we're going to give you the opportunity to pray to Jesus and to make that confession of faith. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And so in a moment, we'll give you the opportunity to do the ABCs, to admit, believe, and confess. All right? That's what we do with the children a lot of times, right? We tell them to admit their sins, confess them, right? Believe in Jesus and confess them, and that they will be saved. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I got to tell you, I'm sitting here today and I got my arms folded and I have an attitude of, I don't want to be bothered. And I have a heart that isn't very open and isn't very willing. Would you pray for me, Ed, that God would change my heart, that he'd open me up, that I would be open and willing, that he would change me and my heart and my attitude and the way I think, that I wouldn't have an attitude of I don't want to be bothered, but that I'd have an attitude of, hey, you know what? I want to serve in this area. Right? If over 80% of people come to Jesus before the age of 21, then I want to serve. Right? I'm going to start today by filling out a form. I'm going to think less about myself and more about them. I'm going to make that step today. Would you pray for me that I would follow through and make that commitment? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Oh my goodness, it's challenging and sometimes it just steps all over us. And we see where we're at and where we need to be, and sometimes it's so far. And so I pray today, Lord, that people would maybe just take the first step. And maybe for you today, that first step is saying, you know what? I need to make Jesus number one in my life. I need to make him a priority. I need to make him my Lord and Savior. If that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, yes, that is me. I want Jesus. I want something different in my life. I want him. Then I'd like to lead you in a prayer that you just repeat these words in your heart softly and quietly after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but my heart's become a little hard toward church or toward people or toward life or toward my work or toward my spouse. I've just become a little less open and willing to believe. And I pray that Jesus would change me, because I've had an attitude of I don't want to be bothered, and I don't want to have that attitude. I don't like that attitude. I want to change. Would you pray for me, Ed? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who may feel this way, who may have built up a wall to where they're not allowing you to penetrate their heart and they're grieving your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd bust open that wall, break it down, open them up, open up their heart, and give them the courage and the boldness to live for you. Refresh them, strengthen them, Lord. Fill them with your love. Wrap your loving arms around them. And I pray that the fruit of the Spirit may be evident in their lives today. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. I pray that, Lord, not only for their lives, but I pray it for my life, Lord, that you break down those walls and that we may have an attitude of gratitude and a spirit of love. Give us that supernatural spirit, Lord. Strengthen us. A spirit where we love others unconditionally with no strings attached, just as you love us, Lord. May we follow in your footsteps. May we be like the Apostle Paul. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Jesus loved the little children, Lord. May we also love them. May we invest our time and our energy and our resources in this area. And Lord, we pray for Vacation Bible School this week. We pray for a special anointing upon all the teachers, all the leaders, all the workers. We pray that you'd open up the hearts of the children that come into this building this week, that something supernatural would take place. We pray for the salvation of each and every one of those souls, Lord, that many would come to know you, not many, but all of them, Lord, and that they would walk out of here this week changed and transformed, and that they may be a light in their house, so much so that parents see something has happened in their children, and they may say, you know what? I got to go back to that place. I got to see what happened to my child, because they're different. They act differently. They think differently. And I want to know what happened to them. And we pray, Lord, for the salvation of the parents. We pray that you begin to soften and humble hearts and change them, that they would be open, and that your spirit and presence would be felt, and that your word would not return void this week. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.